Let's talk a little bit about last year's tournament. Obviously, good memories for you, I would hope. You started the final round five shots off the lead. Did you have any real thoughts of winning, playing as you started that final round?
God, you know what? I thought I'd blown it on Saturday. I really had. Yeah, I had a poor Saturday. You know, great first couple of days, poor Saturday. No, I don't think I did. I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, we mentioned Seve and Tiger. You know, Seve would wear his blue and Tiger wears his red because they always believe they can win. But, you know, my hypothetical red shirt was on, but did I think I could win? I don't know. I just knew I had to go out there and shoot an amazing round of golf, post something that guys, you know, would have to chase. And the goal, you know, the Innisbrook is so good. That Copperhead course is so tough coming down the stretch. We saw how it panned out in the end. It's notoriously difficult to finish, but very, you know, proud, over the moon with the way I played. I putted well. I mean, that's always the key. You've seen me play enough golf through the years. The ball striking's never been an issue. When I get my putting on song, that's when I always have an opportunity, no matter the golf course. And I made those key putts on that final day. It was awesome. It was the worst hour of my life after I finished watching those guys finish.
That was my next question. You're already jumping ahead here. Wait a minute. Let me ask the question. So after you finished and you post 10 under, did you watch it on TV?
Well, so there was a little bit of media to do, a couple of interviews, and then, you know, the transition down to the locker room is a, you know, a few minutes away. So by the time I got there, I watched Tiger's, I guess, last 2.5 holes in its entirety. You know, I'm a believer in karma. You never wish anybody ill, and you expect the worst and you hope for the best. That's all you can do. Totally out of your hands. And, you know, it was downwind on 17, and I don't remember the yardage exactly. It was a pretty long way. I leaned on a 8-iron. I hit a very hard 8-iron. It was probably, in fairness, a soft 7-iron, but in that state, knowing the position I stood, I didn't want to go long past that flag. So I hit a very, very firm 8-iron, front of the green, made my par there, and I parred 18. So when I watched Tiger pull out a 6-iron on 17 and hit it 45 feet past the flag, I'm thinking, well, that's lucky. And I'm thinking, maybe I've dodged one here for me. Yeah, maybe I've dodged one. And then he rolls in that amazing putt. Oh, God, to keep the dream alive.
That was my next question I was going to ask. After he made that putt, what did you expect him to do on the last hole?
Oh, I expected him to pull out driver, smash it up there, and make a birdie, and we go to a playoff. Or whatever he had to do. In fact, I can't remember if he needed a par birdie.
Yeah, he needed to make a birdie to tie you, yes.
And so it was a strange one. You know, he chose iron. He left himself a long way back. I felt I got lucky. You know, it was, you know, I just fully expected to see what we've seen for so long, you know, in the 2000s, that he would just knock it down there and knock it to 6 feet, knock it in and beat me in a playoff. That's what I expected. I really did. And in all these years, I've been so lucky to play against him. And that's the way at least I look at it. Through the 2000s, it was slim pickings for a long, long time, Gary. You know, my European and PGA Tour schedules meant that when I played in the U.S., I played majors, WGCs, players, and some other key events, and he basically won them all. So to finally come out on top, Tiger to make par on the last, for Patrick Reed, again, not wishing in on anybody, and Patrick's in a good place because he won the Masters the following week. You know, I got lucky, and you need that sometimes. You know, it was a great final round. I'm proud of the way I played, and you know, I got one. It was nice to finally get one on Tiger.
And there was an amazing energy here at Innisbrook. As a player, do you feel that as well? And does it help or does it hurt?
You know, there are times it can be challenging. It was an awesome week. It was fantastic. I'm hoping Tracy and the Copperheads, I mean, everybody made more money for charity.
Let's switch gears just a little bit, Paul, and talk about the present. You had a great week just a couple of weeks ago at Pebble Beach where you finished runner-up to Mickelson. You moved back into the top 20 in the official world golf rankings. Why are you playing so well?
I'm hungrier than ever, Gary. It's not through the amount of work I've done recently. It was probably the least amount of work I've ever done through an off season. You know, I'm still hungry. My win last year at Valspar sparked an excitement back into my golf game. Having, you know, my first U.S. win in the last 9 years. It was nine years since my last win. It just sparked something in me. You know, it was the most enjoyable win I've ever had. I can honestly say that. It was reminiscent of my first ever win, put it that way. You know, my first ever win in Scotland on the European Tour, it was like, wow, I've actually won. I'm a winner on tour. And it felt very much like that. It was very satisfying to having sort of, you know, ups and downs in my game, lost enjoyment for the sport, got it back, not sure whether I could compete again at the same level, and then to prove that I could. It was the most satisfying result I've had in, you know, maybe ever. Then you add the Ryder Cup to that. I'm just excited about my golf. You know, I don't move physically like I used to. I've got to be much more efficient with how I work and thoughtful and strategic on how I play. I can't hit as far as these young guys. But I'm hungry. You look at what Phil did at Pebble, age 48. You know, my golfing brain is as good as it's ever been. Maybe physically it doesn't quite match up, but it doesn't matter. You get the right week, I can still be very, very dangerous. You know, so I love this game. I'm in a position now where I'm enjoying it. I want to do what Phil's doing. I'd love to be 48 and still winning golf events. And the clock is ticking. I think that's the thing. You know, I know this isn't infinite. I've got a finite amount of time, maybe another, you know, 4 or 5 seasons at the highest level. I really believe that. Maybe a couple more Ryder Cups in me. So I've got to grab every opportunity I can, which makes me a happy guy in a good place, knowing that the time's running out. That makes me, as Westwood said it the other day, you know, he said he's dangerous because he doesn't care. And I'm almost in the same position. You know, I love it. I'm enjoying it. I don't really care if it's good or bad. Makes me dangerous.
And I think that shows on the golf course, Paul. We see you smiling an awful lot, which is great to see. Your thoughts about coming back to the Copperhead course to defend your title?
Any win I've ever had, proudest thing when you walk through the gates at a tournament week and you see your images of yourself with a trophy, knowing that you're a champion. You will always be a champion at that event. That's one of the proudest things you can ever experience as a golfer. For it to be the Valspar Championship, it's such a great event. What Tracy does and their entire staff and the Copperheads, it's so proud to have, you know, be part of that that fabric, that, you know, part of the history of this great event. I couldn't be prouder. It's going to be a cool experience. I mean, it means I want to go back to back if I can. I've been looking at all these announcements on social media, and the field strength is ridiculously good. So it's going to be tough, but they should be proud of everything they've done down there in Tampa. I think I can honestly say it's probably the most respected golf course we play on the Florida swing. You know, people talk a lot about, obviously, you know, Sawgrass and some other venues, but deep down, guys have favorites. It's probably one of the best golf courses we play on tour. You know, it gets mentioned alongside Colonial and Hilton Head and these other places. You know, golf courses don't have to be it's very, very long, don't get me wrong. We don't have to be these big sort of monster TPCs to be revered. They don't have to be major venues to be revered. Copperhead course got a lot of respect from players. It has the whole package. The whole week has the whole package. And, you know, that shows. People come out, lots of charity money is raised. Yeah, very proud to be their champion.
Yeah, how many times have you played here at the Copperhead course?
How many times have I played? God, you know, you have to look at the history. You'd have to go back through the records. I'm sorry, because off the top of my mind, I actually don't know. It hasn't. It's not typically been a regular tour stop for me. Correct. Yeah, and it's trying to balance that schedule and trying to find the events that you play well. I mean, this goes back to my point. You've got to be economic with what I play, how I work. You know, my golf game now, there's certain courses that, you know, I just need to go and play certain courses because I get great results on them. Why go to a venue that you don't play well? Plain and simple. Always loved the course in Copperhead course. Johnny, my caddy, how many times has Luke Donald won it? Twice before or once before?
Once.
He was once? He's instrumental in my return because he's had success. He was on Luke Donald's bag when they won around there. Yeah, we discussed it. He goes, it suits you. Let's go do this. Let's play. We can win this tournament. So you actually have to give John McLaren a lot of credit for my playing.
The question is that last year there was a lot of talk about the rough and the difficulty of the rough, which has changed. This year, from my perspective, just having played it, probably a lot of people agree, looking for golf balls, it has gotten even more difficult. In terms of the field, in terms of some of the big hitters that I guess have signed up, Rahm and Bubba, do you, with your ball striking, say, wow, I really look forward to this? Or what's the perspective? Because you're probably going to play some very, very difficult shots if you don't have it on the fairway.
I would say that plays into it. That's my advantage. You know, you always strike a balance between whether you enjoy playing a golf course or not, and sometimes I don't necessarily enjoy a lot of rough. I actually like golf courses which are playable and has a rough length that allows you to create, which creates indecision, and you go for shots that maybe you shouldn't really try. But I'm a very, very good driver of the golf ball. So if the course is, you think, tougher than you've seen in years past, deep down, I like that. I smile internally going, I know I'm such a good driver of the golf ball. That plays into my hands a little bit. I'm a great iron player as well. Copperhead Court is not a golf course you can just open the shoulders and bomb it and don't care where it goes. You've got to be incredibly precise. You've got to have a great strategy. Miss certain greens on the right side. Just know what you're doing. And you look at the winners you've had through the past, the past roster, and it's guys who know how to manage the game very efficiently. So I think it's just going to highlight that even more this year.
Paul, you covered about everything that I was going to ask, but I wanted to just ask you to elaborate on strategy, on your caddy that you've been with for quite a while as an advisor that you trust, and just the thought processes that go on during the stretch of a final round as you had here last year.
Yeah, John McLaren, he's worked for some great players through the year. I always put Duffy Waldorf at the top of that list that he worked for. He's obviously quirky. He's known for his high top, Nike Jordans that he wears and his long socks. But, this is a guy that was a potent combination with Luke Donald. He's a real thinker. He's a real sort of mathematician, numbers guy. And I'm not. I'm a very kind of left-brained, fly-by-the-seat-of-the-pants kind of golfer. So together, he adds an element that I don't necessarily have naturally, a strategy, how we work, what we work on. And when it comes to something like a final round, as I mentioned, not saying anybody's wrong. I would never have hit it past that flag through choice on 17. I play aggressive shots to conservative areas would be a nice way of putting it. We have a strategy that maximizes my ability to make birdie or eagle on every single hole, but we don't take unnecessary risks either. He adds to that. He figures out that strategy. He looks at all the shot link data, all the numbers, and just feeds it to me and just tells me basically this is how we're playing the hole. Can you do that? You agree? Do you disagree? There's no question. He's very instrumental in my success the last few years and instrumental in my win last year. Other than that, I can't give you too many more secrets.
You hadn't been here, but yet you won. You were just mentioning about the strategy that you and your caddy use as defending champion. Do you use the same strategy, or do you press a little harder this time around?
It worked, so why would I change a lot? I would change the third round if I could, although I never really did a full review on why I played poorly in the third round. I'm sure Johnny had. I think we've got a really good handle on how to attack the golf course. I mean, I love the way it sets up. You've got, first of all, you've got a golf course. I'm a fan of reachable par fives. I mean, I think there's too many golf courses where I'm a fan of short holes in general. For me, the best holes in the world are always short par three, short par four, short par five. And we've got that mix and that blend of holes on the Copperhead course. So we're going to continue to be aggressive. I don't see why the strategy would change, the only thing that would make it change would be conditions, something out of our control, weather, wind, temperature. I guess maybe the rough. Yeah, I always criticize guys who kind of, win multiple times and then they decide to sort of change their swing and they think they have a magic secret or something and then they kind of drop off the face of the planet. I never quite understand that. So if you've got something that works, just keep doing it.